Hey guys, I'm Jason Guymon, host of the King of Pressure Wash podcast. I am a self-employed entrepreneur. I grew my pressure washing business to $1 million business in just under 5 years. And now I'm helping hundreds of pressure washers start and grow their pressure washing business also. I'm helping you so that you can be the king of pressure washing in your area. Today's show is going to be an awesome show on the King of Pressure Wash podcast. Are you ready to get to the next level? Let's get started.
Go.
What up, guys? Jason Guymon here with King of Pressure Wash, and tonight I've got another special guest. He was on once before, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the sales process and different things. He was one that did door to door, and you know, I know a lot of people starting out that do door to door, and so this is going to be a very cool topic of doing door to door sales. And so it is something that's not easy. It's not for everyone, and it can be tough. And a lot of you have to step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. And so this is something that you have to do and keep yourself going. But before we get going too far, don't forget, this is brought to you by King of Pressure Wash. And if you want to learn how to do the hands-on portion, go check out KPW Train, because we have a really cool class coming up in October. And Mr. Chris Johnson, he's already on here, will be there. And he will be talking on sales also. And so he has an average ticket of over almost like right at $2,000 is his average ticket going to hit his $1 million in his hopefully in 2023. But before we get too far, let's see who all we got on here, because I always like making sure that we get everybody that is on here. Who's putting in some work and putting out those yard signs? Money Bushes. We love Money Bushes. The close is the most important aspect of what we do. Learn it, love it, and live it daily. From Mr. Johnson, Jeremy out of hope everyone is doing well. Mr. Bubbles, howdy from Dallas. What's up, Mr. Bubbles? Hello. Representing Mr. Sean, how are you doing from Canada? Got people from all over the world. All right, let's start off. Let's talk a little bit first before we get going, just so if people don't know, who are you, where are you from, and just a little bit about your story.
Yeah, for sure, brother. It's glad to be back and doing another live with the crew. See a lot of folks in the chat that we recognize also from the Mr. Bubbles Army. So I appreciate everyone coming over to the live. Pressure washing, that's what we do. In my case, I'm in my 11th year doing pressure washing, so been around the game for a little bit. I mentioned this to you before we even started the live. I used to be, this was way back when, in my 20s. I'm in my 40s now. In my 20s, I was a door-to-door salesperson. So, and that was commission only sales. And baby, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, how to do them sales, how to get them sales. So I'm excited.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's jump into it. So, you know, sales is probably, it is the most important part of this business, right? If you don't have sales, you're not going to grow a business. And so if you don't have sales, it is definitely something that is where people struggle, and especially in the beginning. Let's hit on a little bit about how in the beginning, how hard can sales be? Go for it. How hard can sales be in the beginning when you're starting a business, and what are some things that we can do to help overcome that?
I think whenever you're dealing with sales, you know, we often talk about this, that there's basically four pillars that we have to focus on in pressure washing business. We got administration, we got marketing, operations, and sales. And that's what we're talking about today. And guys, guess what? It's a skill. It is a skill, and it takes time for you to develop it. And the best thing that I can say to you is, it's one of those things, you just got to do it. You just got to get out there and just do it. The more you do it, it's like anything in life. The more you do, the better you're going to get at it little by little by little by little. That's how I did it. And guess what? When I first started, guys, I stunk out loud. I was terrible at doing sales, but it's something that I got better at as time went on.
And, you know, this is a lot of people are so afraid to ask for the sale. And, you know, there is different personalities that this is easier for than others. You know, if you know anything, I push a lot about the DIS personalities. You got the D that's dominant. They do very good in sales. You got the I that they do okay. You got the S that kind of does terrible at it. And then you got C that just likes to give so much information. And, you know, to be a good salesperson, you got to be able to get some dominance and be able to close the sale. I see a lot of people, they can sit there and talk, and that's good and getting good information about the customer, but they will never ask for the sale. And that's a big problem. Let's talk a little bit. I know you put on there, but let's talk a little bit about the anatomy of the sale. Hit me on that. What do you mean by the anatomy of sales?
So it's very important, especially if you're, you know, when you're new, when you get out there, you know, that you actually have an actual sales pitch. And what I would recommend now, let me put this in here real quick. So I put this in the comment section again. If you want to email me, I will send you a copy of my sales pitch that I personally use in the field. You need to have a standard sales pitch that you've practiced over and over and over again to the point where it sounds very organic, like a conversation. So when we're talking about a sales pitch, the anatomy of a sales pitch, there's five basic elements. Now, guess what, guys? If you think back to every time you've interacted with a salesperson, maybe it was a car salesman of some kind, they utilize this on you without you knowing that they were doing this. And that's what the great ones do. They make it seem very organic. So number one is the part of the sales pitch. Number one, introduction. Number two, short story. Number three, presentation. Then you're going to close the sale when the customer, you see that the customer is impulsed and ready to say yes. You're going to close the sale, and then you're going to do what we call the upselling. And, you know, that's basically the anatomy of a sales pitch. And again, if you guys want to see verbatim what I pitch out in the field, I'll send that to you in email form.
So, you know, let's talk about that, because, you know, it's different for everybody. And I agree 100%. If you don't have a sales script, or if you don't have a script, that is the biggest thing that's going to make you fail, right? You know, the book that I pushed there for a while, and I still push it, it's a great book. It's called The Ultimate Sales Machine. And he talks in there about having a script for everything, right? Having a script that you already have pre-planned, done it over 100 times to you, your family members or whatever. And that script is what if they say you're too expensive, right? Having that script so that way it's just automatic versus saying, or I got to talk to my husband, right? Overcoming objections. And so I love having scripts. And a lot of people think that this is stupid or whatnot, and they don't want to do it. And, you know, but it's very important so that way you can close these jobs. You know, it's a big part of this is having that script so that way people can actually know that you know what you're talking about. It's not like you're hem-hauling around on this. And that's why having your script is very important.
Right, absolutely. And we talked briefly about law of averages and understanding that, guys, getting a no and dealing with rejection is a big part of becoming successful, not just in this business, but in any business, right? So you have to understand that every time you go out there and you pitch somebody, every no that you're getting is bringing you a little bit closer to a yes. And that's how you got to keep yourself motivated out there. The bottom line is, if you do not have an aggressive sales / boots on the ground marketing strategy for your business, I think that, you know, you're making a big mistake if you're not doing that.
So let's talk about that. What do you mean by an aggressive marketing strategy?
So Jason, so check this out. You know, because we've been in business for 11 years, since I would say about 2000, towards the end of 2016, 2017, we've been tracking all of our marketing numbers. And what we've noticed as a company is that digital marketing is sort of scaling down a little bit. It's trending down a little bit. And what we mean by that is we used to be able to get quality, like high quality leads from digital marketing. And now we've noticed that that's flipped, where we're getting all of our high quality leads, our quality customers are coming from boots on the ground marketing. So for example, you know, if you're out there doing your yard signs, if you're out there wearing your shirt and you're interacting with people face to face marketing. So, you know, we talked in a couple lives ago, you talked about commercial, how to get commercial jobs. If you're actually going out there and talking to these business owners, talking to residential customers, you know, in all of my episodes that I do on the Mr. Bubbles channel, we talk about the five arounds. Jason, we've talked about this before, you and I, the five arounds. If you're out there and you're doing a job and you physically go and you talk to the neighbors already see who you are. They don't need to see when somebody, for example, and I'm going to use this as an example, Facebook ads, they're not really working right now the way they used to in the past. Can you get some leads from them? Sure. But high quality leads, it's going to be tough. But guess what? If you're doing a house and you knock on a neighbor's door and you pitch that neighbor already sees you. He can look out the window and see the quality of your work. And you're also tapping into what's called social proofing, because you're in a neighborhood already. They're going to be more likely to do business with you because the neighbor's already using you.
All right. So let's do a little role play here, because I love giving our viewers information. So when we knock on that door, what are we going to talk? Because, you know, there's some people that'll do a five around, and their five around is just putting a door hanger on it, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, most people aren't going to be home during the day anyway. Not always, yeah. But, you know, it's back to the law of averages, 100%. You got to go knock on so many doors before you're going to get the people there. And the more doors you knock on, the more people you're going to get there, because it's an average, right? If you say they're, absolutely. If your 10% is, that means every 100 doors, you're going to get 10 people. So you're not going to get 10 people. If you're not going to get 10 people if you only knock on 20 doors. So that's why you got to knock on 100 doors to get to the 10 people. So what are some things that we can talk about when we knock on that door, and how can we sell that person for pressure washing?
Absolutely. I highly recommend you have what's called an elevator pitch. And that's basically a 30-second pitch. And the way
what's an elevator pitch? Let's bring it, dumb it down again, because if we're talking sales 101, what is an elevator pitch?
An elevator pitch is something that is going to be less than 30 seconds. It's going to be quick, in and out. You know, people have a short attention span, and they're, when you initially come to somebody's door, they're a little bit guarded. So you need a pitch where you're going to lower that person's guard.
So give me an example of a 30-second elevator pitch.
So here you go. This is actually something I've used in the field for years and years and years and years, since probably my year two, when I used to do, you know, heavy on door-to-door marketing. So, you know, if you're next door, you're going to knock on the person's door to the left. The person comes out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, hey, ma'am, I'm so sorry to disturb you. I just wanted to apologize in advance. We got a bunch of noise going on next door. We're actually pressure washing the neighbor's house. But anyway, since I'm here, here's my flyer. Hey, if you ever need my services, I'm in your neighborhood a lot. Actually, I'm sure you've already seen my trucks. Whenever you need us, just give us a call. 30 seconds, in and out.
Yep.
That quick.
Quick, easy, and to the point. And you're just going to inform. And the good thing about that is you're actually there to inform them that you're going to be loud, right? And you're not there to inform.
Exactly. And that gets them to lower their guard. And what you want to do, guys, remember the acronym KISS. You want to kiss them. KISS. Keep it short and simple. In and out.
You know, and that's where people get in trouble is they don't know how to keep it short or simple.
Yeah. And again, I love what you just said about the 10 people, but that's exactly right. You're going to get 90 no's. And guess what? Somebody says no to you. I get excited when somebody says no to me, because I see that my yes is right around the corner. And that's right. How that works. And every single time you guys listening to this, you know, every single time you go out there and you pitch someone, you get a little bit better. You get a little bit more organic. You feel a little bit more confident. And that's how that works.
And confidence is the number one thing. You know, who is the best pressure washer out there? Is it Bob's pressure washing, or are you the best pressure washing? Do you believe that you are the best pressure washer? Because a lot of you don't believe in yourselves, and you are, right? And that's why a lot of you don't believe in yourselves. That's why you won't price the way you need to. That's why you won't ask. That's why, because you don't believe it yourself. And if you don't believe it yourself, you'll never win. And it doesn't matter what you're trying to sell. You've got to believe you're the best. You've got to believe that you are the best solution for that customer. And I get it. It's hard sometimes, but it's okay. And you'll get through it. You know, I never did door knocking. I did door hangers one time, and that was the dumbest thing I ever did. And that's why I do push a lot more of the online side of things. And, you know, I never did in-person quoting. You know, I did it all online. It's not to say one way is right, one way is wrong. It's just a matter of way I've done it. You know, I know businesses that are real close to each other, and one does everything online, one does everything in person, and the average close rate isn't much higher, or the average isn't, their average ticket isn't much different. And they're both doing over $1 million. And so it's like, I can prove you both ways. And do I think that digital is getting harder and it's going to get even more harder with AI and everybody that's got access to it? Absolutely it is. It's not going to get easier, you know, but it doesn't matter if you go in person or online. The number one thing that's going to set you apart from all your competitors is taking action, right? We can sit here and talk about whatever, the best sales, best whatever. If you're not willing to go out there and take action, whether it's online or in person, it doesn't matter. So what are some things that you can do to help, or what are some things that you would suggest, Mr. Bubbles, of getting out there and getting, you know, it's about living in our uncomfort zone. What are some ways that we can do to start living in our uncomfort zone?
Just get out there and do it. You know, I'm going to suggest that maybe for our next live, I know you and I, we do a live, once a month together. You know, we talk about how to incorporate in your business a successful boots on the ground marketing strategy. So we can do a deep dive into that in our next live. I would be all up for that. But the bottom line, guys, is you have to practice a sales pitch. I would practice in a mirror, practice with your wife, practice with your kids, get out there and practice with customers. And the more you do it, the more comfortable, that's what we're talking about, the more comfortable you're going to be. After you've taken about 800 no's and you've gotten yourself about, you know, 100 or two yeses, you're going to feel comfortable. You know, to be honest with you, and this is just straight shot, it's going to take some time. Okay. It took me about 6 months for me to develop my sales pitch and get out there and feel comfortable with myself. So the great thing is you guys are out here being good students on this live. You take this information, you apply it. We're almost at the end of the season. And then guess what, guys? By next May, April, May, June, you're out there and you're knocking them dead with an awesome sales pitch. And whenever you're ready, Jason, I want to talk about the close and the upsell.
Let's do it. Let's talk about the close, because this is something that you have to, you know, and this is back to having a script that, you know, we talk about knowing their love languages and different things, especially if we're doing in-person stuff of doing that. I've been hitting on that a lot. But there comes a point that you have to get to the close. You have to close that. And this is something that you need a script or whatever. So let's talk about the close.
Yeah, I mean, this is very important. And again, this is one of those things you're going to learn with experience, because a lot of it has to do with body language. And so the more you do this, the more feel you're going to have for it, because you just need to interact more with customers out there, and they're going to shoot you questions. And then it's so funny. You'll notice people ask the same questions over and over and over and over again, and you'll know how to respond to that. But the bottom line is you just got to, when you see that the customer is positive, like I'll give you an example. Let's go back to that elevator pitch. right? So you did the elevator pitch. Guys, guess what? 9 out of 10 times, if you're doing that right, they go, hey, you know what? Since you're here, can you give me an estimate? So you're going to do a quick walk around of their property. And this is something that is very important, okay? This is probably the most important part of this whole live. And this is the concept of people do not care about what you know until they know how much you care. So let me repeat that. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. So in learning how to sell yourself, it's not about the equipment you have or about how much knowledge you have of chemicals and bacteria. It's about that dog. I love it when customers come out of the door and there's a dog. For a couple minutes, I'm just interacting with the dog. Or, you know, when I walk the backyard and I see that they're into organic garden, I'll give you guys a great example. I recently saw a she shed. I was walking the back of the house doing an estimate, and I saw this she shed that was pink, and it had like the two windows had eyelashes like an eyeball, and the whole shed was pink. I've never seen a she shed like that. I thought it kind of stood out. So when I came around to talk to the woman, I asked her about her she shed. She kept going on and on about how she makes jewelry from home and Etsy and a bunch of stuff. And I just wrapped her around my finger doing the close. Because again, I'm coming, you know, I'm building a relationship with that person because again, of that concept, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So now I can actually do that hard close and I can actually charge a little bit better than the other guys because now this woman trusts me. She likes me. You see what I'm saying? Because she's like, oh, he likes my she shed or he likes my dog or he likes my cat. Oh, wow, he's into organic garden like me, and I'm not. But those are the things. I recently saw this guy. He had like Japanese sort of like a yoga statues, you know, those yoga type statues or yin and yang type statues. Started talking to him, found out that he does yoga in his backyard. So 5-6 minutes, he's talking to me about yoga. I don't know anything about yoga, but I'm building a relationship with him. And then when you do a good close, it opens you up to be able to upsell because the customer is more likely to do business with you and to trust you. So the bottom line is, guys, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care.
So Jeremy put, I'm starting a pressure wash called She Shed Pressure Wash. No, that's Bubble starting that one. So it is very much so, you know, I love what you said because it's so true and so much so that everybody starting their pressure washing business, they focus on the equipment, they focus on what else do they focus on? Equipment and the chemicals and they go buy all this stuff and that is not what sells, right? I mean, yes, we need to know how to do it, but in the end, that's literally a $20 an hour task. You can literally pay anybody $20 an hour. I used to pay people $15 an hour to do this task. You know, that's the task of a $15 an hour task, $20 an hour task. And so that's why I don't push that much, right? And I probably should because a lot of you love that stuff and you go down deep roads of it, of all the equipment and stuff. And a lot of that's how you found me in the beginning. But in the end, that's not what makes the bottom line go up. You know, a lot of people worry about that top line and that top line looks amazing. You hit 100,000, hit $1 million. But that bottom line, that's the most important line that you need to worry about. And how do we make that bottom line go up? That's the profit line. If you didn't know, the bottom line is the profit line. And if you don't do the profit line, nothing else matters. Because I know a lot of people that do $1 million business and they make $50,000. And that's what happens. And so how do we get that bottom line to go up is by selling, right? And so, and one way we can do that is I like to do packages, right? I want to give packages, but we can also do upselling. Let's talk about upselling.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, that's where your high profits are, guys. That especially when you start taking on employees, and especially when you start taking on backstage folks. You know, so you need to get out there, because when you're upselling, you're not paying for gas, you're not paying for windshield time, you're already on there on site, so you're going to be able to make a lot more money. Now, going back a little bit to the close, what I said, I just wanted to reiterate this. So when you see that the person is positive, right? Like going back to the elevator pitch, you do the elevator pitch, you do the walk around, and then you tell the woman, for example, hey, ma'am, you know, since I'm already here working, normally it would be a little bit more expensive, but I can do your house wash today for $3.99. That's just an example. You just flat out, I can do it for $3.99. And then when the woman says, oh, wow, that's a great price, when can you do it? Bam, there's no more explaining what you do and all of that. Don't get into a bunch of mumble jumble. That's the close. Then you're going to go into the upsell. Now, I can actually knock this out within the next couple hours, as soon as I get done with the neighbor, since I'm right here. But I noticed something. By your she shed, you have this patio that is really nasty and full of mold, and you're walking all over that stuff. And it's only going to cost an extra $199 to get that done. You want me to go ahead and add that? And 9 out of 10 times, guess what? They're going to say yes. Whether it's a basement stairwell, a composite deck, look for something. My suggestion to you guys is this, when we're talking about upselling, right? When you walk somebody's yard, develop the ability to see, to see what needs to be done. And your mind is always thinking about selling. Your mind is focused on sales. What can I upsell here? Maybe it's a $50 shed. Maybe it's a $7,500 basement stairwell. Maybe it's the roof. Maybe you can just knock that out real quick. Maybe it's the gutters. Yeah, whatever it is, in every single house I think I've ever been to, there's at least one or two things that can be upsold. So, you know, typically, you know, when I used to be out in the field every day, full time, I would upsell anywhere between $400 to $600 worth of services. So imagine, guys, you're out there. Imagine $400 extra every single day on top of what you are already out there getting. So upselling is definitely the way to go for your business. It's going to drive your margins, your net margins, way, way up.
Yeah, I agree too. This is another thing. You can also not just point out stuff that you can do, but stuff that might be wrong with their house, right? You're building the credibility of the things of, hey, you know, this is something. And if you know someone that does that, that can help them. Jeremy put this as something too of your existing customers are the most valuable piece of your business and upsells and recurring revenue. And a lot of people don't look at this. So many people, you know, they buy these high dollar CRMs and they never touch the customer again. And that drives me freaking nuts. Right? You literally already did business for them. You've never texted them. You never email them. You never called them because you're scared to death of it. But you literally already did a service for them. You know, and once you start growing your business, you will find out that in repeats and referrals can be your number two and number one business of how big your jobs are, right? You know, most of your referrals, I know with Chris and his repeats, are his number one and number two highest paying jobs. Their averages are like $2,100, $2,200. Why? Because they already know, like, and trust you, and they're going to buy from you. And so a lot of times people don't get that. And, you know, I get that it's hard to sell to that, right? It's hard to call people and it's hard to do it, but just do it. And it doesn't mean you got to do it. You can pay someone to do it, right? So upselling is definitely something that you've got to keep going. You got to do it. That's what it is. You just got to do it. Just do it.
No, and the bottom line is going back to, you know, you understanding law of averages, what you said, you know, for every 100 people you're going to talk to, 90 people are going to say no, and 10 people just by law of averages alone are going to say yes to you. And this is very important, guys. You know, I want you to have this sort of philosophy, right, where don't waste your time trying to turn a no into a yes. You know, the simple truth of it is there are tons of yeses out there. And that's just how the world works. There's tons of yeses out there. And a lot of you guys, what you're doing is you're trying real hard to turn a no into a yes. And then you end up being with the, you know, you're getting the wrong type of customers and that sort of thing. Like, go get the right type of customer. Learn how to identify who that is. Learn how to target market. go get that right type of customer that can help you build your business. That customer is going to say yes to you.
I want to talk a little bit about door-to-door sales too, because this has come up quite a bit of times here.
Yeah.
Most people that I know, when they go talking about finding the right customers, most people love to go to where all the dirty houses are. They will go find the most dirtiest houses, the whole neighborhood's the dirtiest houses ever.
Yeah.
And they'll come out of there and they'll be like, I never sold one job, right? Because they don't want your services, right? They're not your customer. You know, I always tell people, go to where all the clean houses are and knock on their doors. And guess what? They will buy your services. They will. You will get more sales out of clean houses than you will ever out of the dirty houses. I know up here that makes no sense to you, but a lot of people don't get that. You got to go where the clean houses are, because one, now they're keeping up with the Joneses, but two, some people just want their house clean. You know, they're the same people that are going to go wash their car every week, whether it's clean or dirty, or they're going to go every day, whether it's clean or dirty. What's your thoughts on, should you go to the really dirty houses or the clean houses?
You know, I always tell people this on my channel, you know, you should definitely hit all of the neighborhoods in your area that have a certain income level. I would start there, you know, because you want to be able to grow your business, invest in your company, upgrade, you know, your marketing and that sort of thing. So you want to be able to target market certain. Now, honestly, guys, we could probably do a 2-3 hour live on this in order to really dig down deep. I would highly suggest you, at least on my channel, or you go to episode 51. We just finished our marketing series. We actually did a very deep, deep dive. Jason, it's over 5 hours of marketing materials on there on this exact topic. But, you know, so I would start there, man. I mean, there's neighborhoods where homes are over $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. Just get out there, start door knocking. Just start door knocking. What I suggest is you where you guys are right now, you should be talking to at least, and I'm saying at least 100 people physically a month. And that you, the way I would do it is 75 residential, 25 commercial. And I'm saying a bare minimum of 100, right? And this is going to give you that practice that we were talking about for you to be able to increase your sales. And Jason, you brought up keeping up with the Joneses, right? So that segues us into the next thing I actually wanted to talk about, is how to increase your sales ability, your sales close, is by mentioning the four factors of sales impulses. And basically, guys, there's four. There's the greed factor, which is keeping up with the Joneses. And then there's indifference, sense of urgency, and fear of loss. You guys ever seen those sales? You know what I mean? You know, one day only. Or this is the last day of that sale. And then we've all fallen for this. You know, we all have fallen for these types of tricks. That's what this is. They're playing into our sales impulse, into our buying impulses, right? So, you know, in my, Jason, in my 6x9 postcard, we have a little box on top that says, one of your neighbors just got a Mr. Bubbles house wash. I can't even tell you guys how many times throughout my career we've had people say, oh, I got your flyer on my door, and it says here that you did my neighbor's house. And so you're tapping into those impulse factors. So if you want to increase your closure rate, you're going to have to learn some of these more advanced sales tactics. So I highly recommend you guys for that. Again, fear of loss, sense of urgency, indifference. You know, everybody hates a pushy salesman. Think back to whenever you've dealt with a really, really pushy salesman. It kind of rubs you the wrong way, to be honest with you, right? A pushy, aggressive salesman. The indifference factor is the opposite of pushy, right? So because you understand law of averages and you have a good pitch, you're going to be able to become indifferent. And indifference isn't so much something you say. It's how you react and how you act with people. So, and again, guys, if you guys want to learn more about that, there's a lot of material on it on Jason's channel about sales and mine as well. But keeping up with the Joneses, that's big.
Keeping up with the Joneses, you know, that's definitely one that you get into the neighborhoods. Now, you can get into neighborhoods that are too expensive and that don't work anyway, because then they don't care because they got more money to know what to do with. And so there is a happy medium. I know I had this conversation this past week of houses for Christmas lights, and it's the same with pressure washing. Of, you know, you got the bottom of, which it's probably went up just because houses have went up so much here lately, but you're probably looking at about 250 to 300,000 to about a million. And you get over that in houses, and then you're not really, they don't really care as much because they got more money to know what to do with. Now, some of them will keep up with the Joneses depending on where you're living at and where they're living at, but that is something that you do got to look at. What are some ways to figure out where I want to go door knocking at?
I think every area is different. I think initially, you know, if you're new to the industry, you just want to get out there. And that's just the bottom line. Just get out there. You never know. You network with people. We get a lot of our customers through networking, you know, networking with other companies, networking events.
Let's talk about that. What do you mean by networking? Let's break that down a little bit.
Yeah, like I would highly suggest you guys, one of my biggest secrets for Mr. Bubbles is I network with a lot of landscapers. This is a big secret, a little known secret. Landscapers, they hate to pressure wash. Even though some of them do it, they hate it with a passion of 1,000 suns. So when you offer a landscaper the opportunity to take that off his plate, right, so to speak, because landscapers will charge $800, $900, $1,200 to do a house that we charge for $400 because they take 6 hours, 7 hours to do a house. So anyway, we network with a bunch of landscapers and we say, hey, you got 200 accounts. Let us take over the pressure washing for you. And that way they pitch their customers and we go out and we wash the house for their customers. So that's what I'm talking about is sales pitch. Through networking, right? Networking, we work with, roofers. There's a guy here in my area, for example. He has a $10 million a year AC repair company, AC and heating. And he gets me about 20 to 30 homes every year. And that's what I'm talking about. Networking, getting out there, getting your name in front of people. And pitching people about your business. And guess what, guys? Guess what? When you do this, you're going to learn how to sell yourself. And that's what this is all about. It's not about selling a product or a service. It's about selling you.
You know, I know a lot of people struggle with this about networking and you know, talking to 100 people, which you said, and that's a challenge. If you don't do it, make it a challenge. And if you already do 100, go to 200, right? Can you meet 100 people in a month and talk to them? And, you know, and that's a challenge. And that might be a hard challenge for some of you. That might be a real hard challenge for you. And so rather it is you go meet 100 new residential customers or you go meet 100 people at businesses and you go talk to them and find out about their business and, you know, ways that you can help each other. Go do that. You'll be shocked at what you can do. You know, it is something that's not easy and it's something that makes you uncomfortable. It makes a lot of people, some people, you just love it, right? You're an extrovert. You can talk to anybody. You can make things happen, and that is. But not all of you are that type of person. Like, I can point out people in this right now. Like, this guy here knows no strangers, right? Little pressure washing, he might be little, but he knows no strangers. He knows everybody, right? And he's got a very successful gas station cleaning business because he does a lot of networking. But some of you, I know, let me go up here and see if I can find one right here. Is struggles with talking to lots of people and building it, right? And I know I'm pointing you out, but that it's the being an extrovert and versus an introvert versus, you know, working and all of that. And so it is something that I would give you a challenge of go meet 100 people. And you know what? Don't just say I'm going to meet 100 people. Write them down. Because if we don't have a way to gauge it, we'll say that we got to 100 people and you'll be at 10. You know, it's no different than door knocking. If you don't write down how many houses you do, you think you've done 100 and you've done 10. and you've sold one job, and you'll be like, Jason and Mr. Bubbles, they don't know what they're talking about. I went to 100 houses, and I only sold one job. And when I asked the questions of, all right, how many streets did you go down and how many actual houses? Well, it was 100. You said to do 100. Well, how many actuals? Well, I think it was like 10 or 11 when I counted them. Okay, yeah. There's your one for your 10% all of averages, yeah. Right? I see Mr. Bubbles laughing in that because it's so true. How many times have you heard of, you know, I've heard the one I love is, because I'm a big yard sign, money bushes, right? Go put them money bushes out. And he's like, man, I put out 25 yard signs. I was like, this week? No, 2 months. What? You got to do that per week, you know, not per month. Otherwise, they don't work.
Yeah, it's actually, I'm going to give you guys a quick story about that. It's called the gumball theory. You ever heard this before, Jason? Maybe, maybe not. It's called the blue gumball theory. Imagine if you have a gumball machine, okay, if you will. You guys that are in chat, imagine this for a second. We've all seen a gumball machine. So in this gumball machine, you have 100 gumballs. And you have 10 blue ones, 10 red ones, 10 pink ones, 10 black ones, 10 white ones, etc. Okay, so you have 10 different colors, 100 gumballs, okay? You guys got that? And imagine I give you a bucket of 100 quarters and I say, hey, I only want the blue ones. I don't care about the red ones, the pink ones, the black ones, the white ones. I just want the blue ones. Is it possible for you to pull one quarter, your first quarter, and get a blue one? Sure, it's possible. Improbable, but it's possible. But guess what? It might take you a day or it might take you hours. Eventually, if you put all those quarters in, you're going to have 100 gumballs and you're going to have the 10 blue ones. But some of them might be your 51st, then it'll be your 60th, it might be your 10th, and that's how sales works. Now, if somehow you get a bunch of blue gumballs right away, guess what? There's a bunch of green ones and black ones and so forth coming your way. If you happen to get a bunch of no's, a bunch of yeses, be prepared to get a bunch of no's coming up because that's how law of averages work. So just remember the blue gumball theory.
Yep. I agree. You know, and this is true right here too, 100%. This is probably the most truth thing right here is your network equals your net worth, right? If you look at your network, right. I can tell you what you're worth, right? If you have a very little network, you probably aren't worth a lot. And I know that sounds mean and harsh, but that's kind of what the way it is.
Yep. And I'm going to say something else. I wanted to bring something up about something that you mentioned. Guys, you know, if you're on this call and you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, this is not going to work for me. I'm not a sales guy.
You can't do that in my area.
Yeah, I'm an introvert and I'm never going to be able to learn this stuff. You have to learn this stuff. That's just the bottom line, because guess what? At some point, you're going to be dealing with customers. You're going to be dealing with employees. You have to learn how to sell yourself and sell your company. And these networking events, I've often mentioned this. One of my biggest, I would say, yeah, if not my biggest, one of my biggest mistakes in growing my business is that I did not realize the potential, the power of networking until about year number 7 for me. And so I just missed out on so many things, because when you go to some of these events, I'm part of 8 networking groups here in my area. Some of them I found through Facebook, through the Chamber of Commerce, Better Business Bureau. And so we go to these events, and those events, all you're doing is selling yourself, and you're not selling jobs at these events. You're selling yourself. You're selling your company. So the same concepts that you're going to practice out in the field, you're going to practice at these networking events.
And there's a bunch of them. The Chamber of Commerce is a really good one. And there, each town usually has a Chamber of Commerce, so you can go to different ones. Some Chamber of Commerces are better than others. The Apartment Association, that's where I did a lot of work for, and I got them all out of a networking event. Literally, yep. It was like a reverse date deal that you went down and you sat down to the owner of 2000, depending on how big their apartment complex was. Yep. And then you got 5 minutes with them. And then a bell went off and you went to the next one. It was a room of probably 30 to 40 of these people. And you just walked around the room and you kept doing it and over and over and over. And so, you know, and again, you don't know which one is going to be, you know, and, you know, I always talk about flipping rocks and, you know, flipping rocks. What I mean by flipping rocks is you got to go turn over rocks to see what's under that rock. And sometimes there's nothing under it and sometimes there's something under it, right? But you don't know. You got to go flip it. And it's scary sometimes. Sometimes there might be something under that rock you don't want to touch. It might be a snake or something, right, that you don't want to touch. But you got to go flip rocks because the more rocks you flip, the more you will be getting more jobs and more big jobs. And so, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is definitely one. I did B&I. B&I is it can be good, but it can be hard too because it's 90 minutes every week and you can't miss. And so that it can be one. But you can go look up on meetups.com. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but they have all kinds of things. Facebook groups. There's different Facebooks that the businesses of local businesses come together and do meetups. And it can help you out so much to be able to do that. And you will be shocked at how you can go to these little meetings and meet other business owners and meet other people. And again, you never know. And again, it's not about look at me, I'm a pressure washer. It's look at me, I'm an honest, good guy that you want to do business with, right?
Yeah. And I think, Jason, for our next live, I think we should do a how to set up a successful marketing strategy for your business type of live. And because when we first started our live, if you remember, we were talking about digital marketing. And I was saying how at Mr. Bubbles, our monthly budget for marketing is 14 grand. That doesn't cover our labor. It just covers what, you know, the things that we're paying. We pay things like Valpak and Facebook and Yelp ads, Google ads, and we have all kinds of digital marketing, but we've been mining this mine for a long time. And for us here in my market, I don't have any low hanging fruits anymore. Like, I've already plucked all of my low-hanging fruits. So I got to go deep into my mind to be able to get customers. So, but the bottom line is, you guys get out there. If you do not have a boots-on-the-ground marketing strategy currently in place in your business, it's going to be very difficult for you, I think. That's just my opinion. But a lot of what I've been able to achieve over an 11-year period is because of this boots-on-the-ground marketing sales strategy that I've implemented for myself within my company.
I'm going to hit on this question because this is about pricing, not on pressure washing, but Christmas lights. And I want to hit a little bit about this here because this has it. Hey, everyone, how do I charge Christmas lights on repeat customers? Last year, I charged $6. Do I go back for $3? No, actually, you should have never done it for $6. You should have been at $8. And you need to raise your prices. I don't cut my prices in half. You still got a lot of cost out there. And so you are just cutting out your profit at that point. And if you don't like profit, that's okay. But I charge what I put up. I may give them a 10% discount if they install in October so that I can get my Christmas lights up. Back to pricing, though. I'd rather your pricing for pressure washing, your pricing for Christmas lights. You know, there is different pricings, you know, and I do teach all about premium pricing. And, you know, whether you're talking about pricing for pressure washing or Christmas lights, as someone asked me the other day of why do I teach premium pricing? Because here's the deal. If you can't sell at premium pricing, you can't sell at cheap pricing either. And I know a lot of times people are like, I'm going to go sell these jobs cheap so I can just get some jobs under my belt. And then a year later, they're still selling cheap because they never were able to raise their prices because they never believed in themselves and they never did anything. And so that's why I teach premium pricing, because I want you to be successful. You know, you can do five jobs at $200 or you can do one job at $1,000. I'd much rather do one job at $1,000. I'm going to have a lot more profit. I'm going to have a lot less chemical. I'm going to have a lot less gas. And I'm going to be way more profitable than you will at the other way around. And so it is important that as we do this and as sales, and, you know, I love that we hit this topic because a lot of times we forget that the sales side of things. You know, we always worry about the equipment. We always worry about the chemicals. How do I clean this? How do I clean that? And but the sales process, if you don't study the sales process, start studying it. There's a couple good books out there that we'll talk to. Chris Voss has a really good one that he, I can't think what it's called. I'm sure someone will put it up here. But he hits on, you know, how to sell and how to close. You know, and there's lots of different sales tactics. Not every sales tactic is going to be for you. You know, he, Mr. Bubbles hit the, you know, you got the pushy ones and you got the ones that are your best friends. And you know what? Not everybody is the same. Not everybody wants to be your best friend. Some people want the pushy. Some of them want the yes or no, right? They, if they're a high D, they want yes, no, get the heck out of my face. If they're a high S, they want the I'm your best friend type of person. And so it is important as we do this and learn sales that you, yeah, I knew someone would talk about it. Never Split the Difference from Chris Voss is a great book that you can listen to. But it is important that not everybody you're going to sell is going to be the exact same. Some people, they want to talk to you and they want to be your best friend and all of that. Some people, they don't want nothing to do with you. And so I know someone hit on the love languages. I was just at a class the other day and I talked about the love languages and the guys asked another guy, like, why is he talking about love languages? That's the dumbest thing ever. And so he went and he's like, Jason, I started doing what you said of not selling the ball, but selling the magic. And he's like, it's amazing. The woman started talking about her grandkids and when they come over and what their faces are going to look like when they come over. Guess what? We can sell that for way more than you, these bulbs, or we can sell this way more than pressure washing, right? Pressure washing, it's a honey-do list, right? We're doing a honey-do list that the honey hasn't done, and she's been nagging at him for weeks and months and years. And so now you're going to get on her honey-do list, and you're going to be her best friend. And so these are things that you have to think about as we're selling and as we're growing a business. What's your thoughts on any of that good stuff? Learning psychology and needing reading people is a value skill. Yep.
And it's all about, guys, it's all about actionable steps. Somebody in a chat just asked, you know, when is the best time to do sales? And this is, I want you guys to walk away from this live with a purpose in mind, right? And I think this is what it is. So we talked earlier about the five arounds. I think you guys should start pitching every five around. So if you got four houses on your schedule, tomorrow's Monday. Let's get this started tomorrow. If you got four houses on your schedule tomorrow, you're doing 20 pitches tomorrow, four times five. So you're going to go with that elevator pitch. The noise next door. Hey, sorry. Wanted to apologize about the next, you know, the noise next door. The elevator pitch we talked about. So use that little bit elevator pitch. Start there. And then from there, grow in your confidence and then start going to businesses, local businesses, join networking groups and that sort of thing. And then I know we only got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to mention one more thing. If I may here, Jason,
I want to hit on one thing before you get there.
Yeah.
I want to give people a challenge, right? Here's a challenge. Cause every time everybody loves challenges, there's proven data of it. So this week, I want to hear how many I'm going to put on my Facebook post, and I want to see in YouTube how many people went. Did you go knock on their door, not just put a five around? First of y'all, you got to go do your five arounds because you're too lazy to go do your five arounds. Second, you got to go knock on them. So that's your challenge for this week. Go for it.
So I wanted to end because we only got about, what, maybe 5-10 minutes left, something like that. So I wanted to talk about HOA contracts. And I am one of the few that I've seen in the pressure washing industry that has really been able to do this in a mass way. I currently have 36 HOA contracts. And guys, these are contracts, some of them hundreds of homes. One of our contracts, we've done 375 homes this season in that one contract. And a big part of the success that I've been able to have that when we're talking about sales and networking, that's how I did it. Because when you get into that neighborhood, you're networking with people. You're learning how to sell yourself with the people within this neighborhood. Remember, the phrase that we uttered in the beginning of this live, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so you build relationships with people within a neighborhood. It is going to lead, it possibly lead you to being able to get these commercial contracts. So I highly recommend that for you guys, especially some of you guys that I see here on chat that I interact with. You guys are able to do a lot of homes because some of these contracts, imagine we had a contract, for example, we had to do 26 houses in 4 days. And so if you don't have the ability to do that, I wouldn't even try to do that, right? If you're new to the industry and you can only handle 2-3 jobs a day, you know, this is not something that I would even suggest you go down this route. But the vast majority of you on this live anyway, you guys can handle that. Get out there, sell yourself, find out who the HOA president is, right? Go to their HOA. I just went 2 weeks ago. I went to every year this HOA, they do a barbecue in the neighborhood. I went with my Mr. Bubble shirt. They were playing cornhole, Jason. You ever play cornhole? Yep, they were playing cornhole, and I was out there playing cornhole with the neighbors, and that's the bottom line. I walked away. I gave my card out to about 60 people. So, guys, the bottom line is practice your sales pitch. Do door knocking with your five arounds, with your elevator pitch, your 30-second pitch. Watch how this will transform your company, because through the process of doing this and networking and selling yourself, selling your company, you're going to be able to, you know, line up some of these HOA contracts that can change your business. Right now, for example, for us in my business, Mr. Bubbles, it's about $400,000 a year in HOA contracts. If I were to lose those contracts, I'd be losing $400,000. I mean, most of you guys on this channel don't even make $400,000 in a year, maybe. I mean, imagine how much money $400,000 is, how much that could completely change your life if you got a couple HOA contracts. Because guess what happens? These HOA people, they interact with each other too. HOA presidents, they interact with each other. So, hey, one guy sends you to another guy. That's how the world works. So network, sell yourself, learn how to do it. Again, if you need anything from me, and this is, I'll leave it with this from my end, Jason. ask@mrbubbles.com. That's my email, guys. I'll send you my HOA blueprint. I'll send you my sales pitch that you can adapt to yourself and then go from there.
So 80% sales, 20% washing, for sure. One thing that someone has said something here, and I wanted to hit on it because it was a good, now I lost it. My biggest challenge is scaring people when they open the door and see a 300-pound bear at the door. Exactly, Jeremy. I like getting in the garage to talk to the cars and see if the kids' toys, soccer nets, baseball hoops inside, you can discover their passion and their hobbies. And if you can get into that, that can definitely help you. Number one rule of sales is acting like you give a dang. You know, and that is true. A lot of people go in and they don't act like they care or whatnot. And guess what? People can see that a mile away. But other than that, again, you can go check out King of Pressure Wash. KPW Train is my training dates. We will have one more Christmas lights. I am passionate about Christmas lights. I love Christmas lights. Christmas lights are awesome, and they make a ton of money. They are amazing money-making suckers. And so with that, give us one last, Mr. Bubbles, what is some words of wisdom before we jump off here?
Words of wisdom?
Yeah.
Guys, just get out there and do it. That's the best thing, that advice that I can give you. Just get out there and do it.
Take action. That's the best advice ever. You know, it's one of those things that baby steps make big steps, right? You got to start. When you're a baby, you don't start running down the road. When you got to take baby steps to be able to take big steps. And so, you know, the law of averages is the same as momentum, right? Once you get the ball, it's hard to get the ball moving, but once you get that ball moving, it will roll faster and faster and easier as you do it. So it is important that you take action, man. That's the biggest thing. Don't sit there and don't let perfection kill you. You know, perfection can kill anything. Well, I need my perfect logo before I can do anything else. you're probably going to change your logo 10 times before you find the perfect one. Don't sit there and just wait for it. Do it. You know, you may change your business name before you just pick it and go with it. Don't wait there. You know, I've seen so many people, they're like, man, I've been working on this logo for 3 months. So you've been losing money for 3 months because you're worried about a logo and what it looks like. Take action and make it happen. Other than that, I hope you all have a great night and we'll see you all later. All right, guys, that is all the time we have for today's show on the King of Pressure Wash podcast. I know you found this as exciting as I did. If you appreciate the work we do here at King of Pressure Wash, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And give this episode a 5-star review. I would appreciate it very much. This helps me get to other people so that they can be successful just like you can be also. And if you're looking to start and grow your own pressure washing business, to give you and your family financial freedom, time freedom, be sure to sign up at thekingofpressurewash.com so you can be the king of pressure washing in your area.